This podcast contains adult themes, language, and situations. Listener discretion is strongly advised. And hello to all the pups and pup lovers listening in. I am Barely Normal.
And I am Kane's Pup.
And I am Loki.
And you are listening to Off Leash, a definitely not safe for work podcast about human puppy play and consensual sexual kinks. Today's subject is going to be expectations of the handler and or the pup and how to carry on that conversation. Now, last episode, we talked about owners and their roles. But what about how the pup wants to be handled and how the handler wants to handle the pup? So let's kind of parse that off from last time and talk about handlers, pups.
So there's obviously, again, we're talking about communication.
Yes. The thread of all. Communicate, yes. Communicate. Yes.
Yes. Communicate. There's definitely like, again, nothing is set in stone, but basically, yes, I see that, Loki. He's trying to distract the whole podcast.
Of course, yes.
He's being disruptive today. But that's okay. We still love him.
Yes. No, you don't.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
we do.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
See, derailing. He derails so well.
He does, but it's okay.
So, a handler between an owner. Okay, so let's first distinguish the differences between those.
Okay.
So, an owner is going to be like more of an actual relationship. Like a long-term relationship. It's a lot to dive into. Listen to the last podcast if you don't know what we're talking about.
Yes.
All about owners. Now, handlers can be short-term. They don't necessarily need to always be a long-term thing. You can have a handler for the day, or you can have, a handler at a pup mosh that is just basically taking charge of the pups at the pup mosh or looking after the pups at the pup mosh. And what I mean by a pup mosh is the public puppy play events that happen all around the world at bars and stuff. So there's definitely a difference between an owner and necessarily a handler, in my opinion. There's other people that have different opinions to that. And yes, there can be a permanent handler in a poly relationship as well. But there's just a big difference to it in the fact that owner is really like, this is a long-term thing. A handler can be both. It can be short-term and it can be long-term. Now, a handler, in a lot of regards, is looking after the pup or making sure that they have water, that make sure that they, are in headspace, that they're comfortable, like caregiving, basically, in a way. 'Cause there are pups that, will basically be like, I really want to shower, but I want my handler to actually shower me, like clean me and bathe me. And that's a whole different side of things.
I like
that. Exactly. And it's, maybe there's, sexual things that are happening in the shower at the same time, and that's okay. But basically there's a different mindset to a handler, because a lot of times it's usually caregiving or, like overseeing the pup's play, or because a handler is not in a pup headspace. So, and same thing with owner. So like you have the headspace of a pup and a headspace of a handler or owner. They are very similar, but I just like making a distinction between the two in the way I just did.
And as far as I've been able to see or experience, a handler can, like you said, be a one-time deal. It could be at the pup mosh, but it's so. My first experience with the pup world was Further Confusion 2017, when PAH had a panel about puppies and about pup play, and then they had a mosh that evening. And anybody that was interested to learn about it could go to the panel and then go to the mosh afterwards. And then that's where I learned how to interact with pups, because if you're new to the pup world, it's overwhelming when you walk into a mosh.
Overwhelming.
Yes.
Overwhelming.
Overwhelming. There's cool an whip? H in there. Yes.
Can you say cool whip?
Overwhelming.
Cool whip. Yes.
Loki's getting triggered just a little bit right now.
Cool whip. Yes.
Whip.
Whip. Yes.
I'm going to whip you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, please do. Ooh, ooh.
But it can be overwhelming when you go to a pup mosh the very first time, because the H is silent like the P in baby, right, Loki?
Yes.
Okay. He's not going to take the bait. Damn it. All right.
No.
Overwhelming. Is that better?
Yes.
Is much that better? Okay. Overwhelming. So having all these pups run around, playing with their toys, playing with each other, interacting with each other, and then various handlers and owners are there on the outskirts looking in. And I walked in and these two pups came up to me and they're like, you know, touching me or whatever. And the handler, one handler had a clicker, the other had a whistle. I'm like, okay. And they both left me and went to them. So it was kind of an interesting dynamic that was going on. But
So
I don't know why I said that.
To play in that, okay, to play into that. So that goes back to the training, you know, thing, mm-hmm. with the clicky and the whistle. But it's also like to show you, like, pups don't know any better. They will literally mm-hmm. just do whatever they want. They are very, very sidetracked and very, very distracted by pretty shiny things, or someone mm-hmm. sexy walks in, mm-hmm. and they're very distracted by it. And this is why the handler is there to kind of draw them back, be like, hey, come back over here. You don't need to just disrupt that, you know, person or the puppy. And also puppies playing in general might be like wanting a little bit more rougher play. And then this other pup, you know, is like not wanting all of that. They just kind of want cuddles. So the handler will kind of be like, no, you know, you, sorry, puppy, like don't play with my puppy right now. He's, you know, wanting mm-hmm. cuddles and being in a different headspace.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of what's actually going on. And it's basically the handlers are just trying to get the pups to enjoy their pup selves. Mm-hmm. whatever that looks like to that pup and handler's experiences, you know, varies. Mm-hmm. But like, I know a few handlers that are more of like a con handler. Like they'll be, mm-hmm. you know, just like, you know, how in a fursuit, you have a right. fur handler.
Yes. Because that's me. They're helping I'm the fur you. Handler for Tabin. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes, exactly. So you basically watch after him as he's in that headspace of being Tabin. Mm-hmm. And you know, you make sure he's safe. You know, you make sure he's drinking water. He, you know, changes his ice packs and, you know, mm-hmm. Maybe has a few drinks to loosen him up a little bit.
Yes. Yes. And that's exactly it.
Yeah. That's a handler in a pup sense too. Mm-hmm. It's very, very close and similar. And this is why furries and pups kind of coexist together so well because it's very, very similar.
Oh, definitely. I mean, furries get into a headspace, pups get into a headspace, the handler takes care of everything. I mean, I've thought about actually running a panel at fur cons about how to be a fur handler and how to, I've seen other handlers out there that just are like, wow, this guy really needs some help, but you're just like standing there chatting. But, you know, it's like you've got
bombarded by a crowd.
Yeah, you've got to be that person's, either the pup's eyes and ears or the fursuiter's eyes and ears. You've got to be as the handler. There's no other way to describe it. Now, in the pup world, though, it's a little different because furries don't have moshes. Now, they have dances, which are kind of like a mosh. Yeah.
they definitely could have a mosh.
Yeah, it's just a lot. The room would have to be 33 degrees in order to have a furry mosh be even fathomable.
Yes. It had to be sub below.
Right. Because, you know, a puppy mosh, you're wearing, for a public mosh, you're wearing limited clothing as the pups. For a private mosh, you're probably wearing no clothing other than.
Very true. The pup
hood. So the pup hood and the tail. And not even a tail. You don't have to have a tail to be a pup. Nope. So
no, you don't.
No.
You don't have
a lot of pups have tails.
We're just gonna go back into look at gear and episode. I think is like 3.
Right.
Or something.
You don't even have to have a hood to be a pup. I mean, let's just say that right off the front, right off the bat. But so I'm a new pup, and I've gone to a mosh, and I look around and see all these pups with handlers. How, and I'm saying this hypothetically because I have not done that. How do I approach somebody? Do I just like go up as a puppy and, you know, hump their leg and say, will you be my handler? Or, I mean, you know, what's the methodology? I mean, seriously.
That is, technically speaking, that is one way of doing it. So
I suppose, yeah, it's like
so there's different ways of doing anything. When I'm speaking to this, like for instance, if I was a handler and a pup wanted to get more of a handler side of me for them, a lot of things that I do or try to tell people to do is communicate what they want before they get into headspace.
Makes sense.
And the reason why I say this is because pups don't really communicate. This is probably the inherent problem with puppies is they're very focused on one thing. And they don't really use their words very often. They use a lot of barking and, you know, body language to convey what they're thinking. Now, if you wanted a handler, get out of that headspace and go talk to them, or talk to just another handler. You know, if you're a pup and you're seeing all these handlers, the best way to introduce yourself is to stand up, take off, you know, a hood or keep the hood on and go say, hi, I am Canes. What is your name? And it's like not
wow,
like saying
it sounds
that it's
like a high school dance.
It kind of is though. Like, okay. So like people get kind of like scared to talk to people that are in like a position of power a lot of times because they're intimidated by them. But as me as a handler, if I was a handler and I had a pup, I would love for the pup that wants me to be their handler just to come up and talk to me. Be like, hey, I'm so and so. What's your name? I'm like, oh, I'm Canes. Hello. How are you? How is it going? Are you enjoying the mosh or, you know, whatever event that we're at?
May I get you a mint julep? It's like,
yes, just something. And like, you know, that will come into play. And, you know, if the pup is like interested in having a handler, you know, ask the handler, hey, do you happen to know if there's a handler that, you know, is interested in getting a pup? Because most likely that handler knows another handler that is probably looking for a pup, or knows a pup that's looking for a handler, or a handler that's looking for a pup.
Right.
Yes.
Vice versa.
So like, So like the community knows everyone. That's why it's a community. Community is it's bigger and it's growing really quick. And so having the communication there, this is why group chats are a thing, in on Telegram. If you're not on Telegram, I would suggest get on Telegram. If you're a pup, it's probably the best thing to do because there are groups and groups and groups and groups of all sorts of places and just whatever you can think of. It's probably a group already. And yes, you will need to be invited to these said groups, but hit me up, hit Loki up, hit Barely up. We'll steer you in the right direction. We'll even add you to our group for the podcast. We can, you know, get you into another group that's, you know, a puppy handler of the world type of thing, or, you know, whatever. There's multiple options out there.
Oh, literally hundreds of options out there. And which I can understand could be very overwhelming for somebody new to this community. And that's the other side of this coin is, you know, you come into this, you say, wow, I saw this pup hood on Amazon. I bought it. I love having it on. Now I want to join a community. I jump on Telegram. Oh my God, there's 800 Telegram chats. There's groups going on. And now,
Correct. And this is and this is why having someone like me or Loki help you, or someone that you know that is in the community already, help you kind of get started. And and this is why it's growing so much, is because of that community aspect of it, where it is, yes, overwhelming, but people have to learn how to interact with pups and handlers and owners and all those different types of relationships that are happening. And the best way to do that is to show someone all of those things. Or, you know, and have the pup be a pup. And show them the headspace. That's probably the best thing that I've ever done, was help pups find their headspace for the first time. It's probably the best thing to see, because their tail starts wagging. If they have a tail or not, they'll just start wagging. Their whole body will just be like, oh my gosh, I just figured it out. Oh my gosh. And they get excited, and then you start playing with them as a puppy, and they just kind of melt. They don't turn into that person anymore. They turn into their pup self, and they get that whole experience.
So there's relationships. There's myriads of relationships, and we've talked about this on other episodes about, you know, daddies and alphas and pack dynamic and all this other stuff. So let's say there's two pups that are in a closed relationship but have different alphas or different daddies or both. How does that work in a pack dynamic?
So packs are interesting. Depends on how you are structured, if that makes sense. So there is obviously like a hierarchy to packs. You know, you have the handler that's kind of in charge of the pack, and then you have the alpha, beta, the pack members, and
the
omega.
Alpha and the beta are pups. Let's make that clear.
Yes,
the alpha and the beta are also pups. They're not part of the handler side of it. So
well, they can be. So like, there are pups that are handlers, and sometimes they're pups that are acting as a handler, or they're in the pup headspace as a handler. They can definitely be,
okay.
Like this is the
there's a lot of moving parts.
Exactly. And this is the thing, like, there's a lot of moving parts, but this is why a community like based thing is so nice, because you have that help. So like, if you're wanting to be an alpha, you know, talk to other alphas, figure out how they do it. If you're looking to be a handler, talk to other handlers, or talk to a pup that knows a handler. I guarantee they know at least one or two handlers in their life. And basically talk to them and be like, how do you do this? Like, what, ask them specific questions on what you are basically at, like, wanting to know. And like with like your, back to your scenario, it's basically all based around their relationship. So like if they're in a closed relationship, more than likely the handler and alpha or the pack is not a sexual pack with those people that are in a closed relationship, because it can be non-sexual in that regard. It could just be the headspace that they're wanting with the pack, but necessarily the pack can have its own sexual side of it as well, outside of those closed two relationships. When a relationship is closed, there's no sexual outside of that
thing. Relationship, that pair.
Now, if they were open, then yes, there could be a sexual side to that, to that pack. Or if they're semi-open, then it's more of like just the pack can actually do something with them sexually. So like it can be to give you like an idea of like what different differences are between that. But yeah, so like for instance, if you were in a closed relationship and you wanted a handler, that handler could be a overseer of your guys' relationship, or an owner can be an overseer of that relationship. Like a mutual party that basically both people can go to talk be in that headspace together and be in, not necessarily sexual, but overseeing that sexual side of it. For instance, if you have two bottom puppies, okay, that are in a close relationship, and yeah, they brought in a handler to basically help them with a certain thing that they want to happen, where they're both being fucked by a double-ended dildo, or being tied up together and being pleasured by one another, they just want that help of their relationship to kind of just have some fun with it, they can. And that's all based on what they talk about as their relationship. And bringing again, in that other person. Communication.
Again, communication. Gotta have that conversation, because if you don't have that conversation, root beer float, says Loki. I don't know why he said that.
I thought that said boop beer float. And I was boop like, beer? Boop? Boop beer? What is boop beer? like booping of the nose beer? Like what?
Sure, why not?
Boop beer.
You mean, and let's, so if you're new to the puppy world, most major cities have a group in that city, a pup and handlers group. Just go to Google, do pups and handlers - your city, and something will pop up. There's either a Facebook group, or they have their own website, they have their own webpage. If you have a gay club, chances are there'll be a poster on the boards at the gay club for the pups and handlers, because that's where they meet to have their moshes. So, it's not like you can not find it. It just takes a little bit of work sometimes. You're not just going to walk around in your pup hood and expect somebody to say, hey, you're a puppy, come on over, come to my mosh.
Correct. So, you have to... the best way, probably, in my opinion, is to go to a fur con. To something that is local to you. Go to the Pup 101 mosh or the training if they have one, and introduce yourselves. Start talking with other pups, and I guarantee they'll be like, hey, do you live around here? Like, oh, right. You do live around here. Oh, great. We, you know, we have a monthly thing that we do, or they'll invite you to some other party that is going at this other person's house, you know, at some mm-hmm. other time that you meet there. Like, pups are very social.
Yes. Yes.
We talk all the time.
Or you bark at one another all the time. One of the two. So.
That's very true. Barking.
That's very,
is definitely...
very true. Yes. Yeah. So Loki, you've been kind of quiet this session. What's your take on this whole thing? Or do you have a take on this whole thing? So let me couch the question this way. I don't want you to be overwhelmed. Did that on purpose. So you have a daddy, you have an alpha, you have a handler, correct? Do you have a handler? Okay.
Yes, that's my daddy.
Okay, so your daddy is your handler. So the same person takes up two roles.
Three roles.
Did those happen organically, or did you seek them out, or did they seek you out?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. They happened organically, and you sought them out, and they sought you out. Wonderful. It was this wonderful little thing that happened someday.
With my daddy handler, yeah. It was more of coerced in a way, but more like natural for me.
Okay. So explain the coerced part. That seems that's an interesting term you used. Coercion is something that's usually
negative.
Negative, yeah.
So I was on Twitter and things like that, and I saw his account, and it was locked, and I was like, "Well, fuck." So then I followed him, and then like got it approved and everything, and I was like, hey, this is some like really nice content that's being produced. And he was like, thank you. You know, he's like, I like your content too, et cetera, et cetera. And then it was kind of like we were both like edging towards something, but not saying it. And then we're like, fuck it. And then it just happened. So.
Okay. So, all right.
Which is mostly what happens too. You might not necessarily be looking for that handler or the owner when mm-hmm. it actually happens. And when you find something that actually is like long-term type of thing,
mm-hmm.
It usually happens when you least expect it.
Okay. Is there a financial aspect to being a daddy or an alpha or a handler?
It could.
It very well certainly could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now this is going into more like findom.
Findom.
Or sugar daddy. A sugar daddy or a sugar baby or mm-hmm. whatever you want to, however you want to put it.
For the record, if there's any sugar babies out there that want to come live with me, I'm all for it. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. No, same
so
here.
Is that me or?
Well,
are you rich?
No, the sugar baby has to support me.
Baby.
Yeah. Is the
see,
person
that's
that
not
supports
the correct
the
term.
Oh,
well, that's
see,
not
if
the
I say sugar.
Term. The sugar baby is the receiver. Yes.
Oh, I thought the sugar. So, and a sugar daddy is the one that gives everything to the.
Correct.
To the sub. I would
the
think
sugar
a sugar baby
is the receiver.
I would say a sugar baby is just the opposite of that. He takes care of the needs of the daddy, you see.
So not quite. So sugar baby is the term for someone who has a sugar daddy, sugar mama, sugar cougar, things like that.
Okay. Damn it. Okay,
so they're the receiver.
The other way. It's like, damn it.
But if anyone wants me to be a sugar baby, I am glad.
I'm sure you are, yes.
I'm going to need about $2,000 allowance
oh, okay.
a week.
Oh, a week.
I was like,
month is not bad.
A month is not that bad. I was thinking that's a fairly reasonable. I mean, you know, especially if you're going to do all my housekeeping and everything, that's about right.
A week.
It's like a week.
A week. Okay.
Well, you better move to a much higher.
I'll just move in with area. I'll just move into Bill Gates' neighborhood.
There you go.
Oh, in San Francisco. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that? Highland Hills.
Yeah.
Highland Hills. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's where really, really freaking expensive houses are.
Yeah, and if they can afford it, then they can afford me. Probably.
Probably. You're talking like shacks. Like
6-7 million.
Yeah.
For
a
normal house.
Like you're your run of the mill like shack house like needs a lot of work. It's still like 6-7 million. And it's like some of these houses are like 20-30 million in these hills, but they also are like super fancy. Like they have wine cellars, they have, you know, elevators, they have guards and security and all sorts of stuff. But
You know, if you can afford it, do it. Why not?
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's what I say. You know, and have yourself a cat boy or a pup. Yeah,
yeah.
All right.
I mean,
call me up. I'll live with you.
I'll
wash your clothes. Yeah. I'll cuddle. Yeah. Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
I'll suck your dick while you work at home.
Oh.
Hey. Yeah.
There's that.
I'll be under your desk.
Yeah. I don't have room under my desk. I've had so many guys offer.
Oh, I'm sure you can. I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. No, I'm sure you do. I've made it work.
I don't know. I've got two towers underneath there, so
I'll make it work.
My desk. Okay.
you know the white Walmart tables, like the fold-out ones.
Yeah. Huh?
You know which ones I'm talking about? Uh-huh. Like $35 ones, something like that.
Right.
That's what my daddy has for his home setup.
Oh, yeah.
When he was working from home, and I fit underneath it fine. So.
Okay, well, there you go.
Don't worry, he's going to get plenty of time down here when he visits.
Nope.
I see.
Okay. Yeah, when I visit. Cool.
Time under the desk.
Absolutely.
Have time under the desk, yes. All right.
So never.
So never. Wow, okay.
Well, how am I going to visit if I live there?
I think Loki's going to expect Canes to be under the desk is what's going to happen here. I think
this, he probably should be.
No.
I'm seeing a dynamic not. Developed. So.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's fine. He won't admit it, but he's a size queen that begs for it.
You know what? You know what's going to be really fun? Is this what's next episode? Let's announce it. Okay.
Okay.
Barely is going to come and visit me and Loki.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to record live next episode. And I'm super excited about it.
I really hope someone's fucking really loud in the room over.
Oh my god, that'd be hilarious.
Really just, hope they do.
You just hear like moans.
Hear the bed frame hitting the wall and shit.
Well, if nothing else, there's Foley effects for that. We could put that in after, you know.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
That'd be Hotel 101.
Hotel 101. So
now I'm gonna just start doing the Mickey impression.
609.
Rule 37 or was it rule 39? What is that?
If anything rule 34. That exists.
34.
Yeah. Anything that exists in pornography as well. So, yes.
Room 609.
I don't know what that is, but okay.
Do you know, Bubby?
What is room 609?
I
you guys are both trash.
Well, that may be true, but that has nothing to do with whether we know what room 609 is. I might be trash. Who knows?
Here,
I'm heading to the bathhouse after this, so I'm definitely going to be trash, you know.
Well, I hope you do.
Ooh, that sounds hot.
Ooh, it is. I'm hoping it will.
Slut.
What bathhouse are you actually going to?
Steam Portland.
Oh,
it's the only one in the area.
Okay, got it.
It's the only. No, it's not Steam Works. It's just Steam. They took the word works out like 10 years ago. Yeah. So.
Oh, I bet you it's because of the San Francisco Steamworks. I bet you they're not associated to them. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not. They're not a conglomeration or a chain. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've strayed far enough off this topic that we can probably wrap this episode up. It was pretty simple episode.
Do we want to talk about anything else about?
Well, this, I mean, you know, the expectation of the handler, you know, the handler expects that the pup does what? Obeys him, correct?
Well, I mean, yes, correct. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And the pup expects that the handler takes care of his or her needs. I mean, yeah. In a nutshell. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes. I mean, that is a nutshell. But like, is there anything else like specifically, like, do you think that we need to discuss more?
I don't think so. I think we've talked about this subject in passing on a lot of our episodes already. So this is
true.
We've kind of moved along here. And so, bottom line is if you're a pup and you want a handler, go to a mosh, talk to other handlers, find a handler. And let's be honest, you don't have to have a handler as a pup.
No, you don't at all.
No, it's not a requirement. You don't have to have a handler. You don't have to have a daddy. You don't have to have an alpha. You don't even have to belong to a pack.
No.
It's all about you and your needs and your satisfaction. But granted, if you're just pupping in your bedroom alone, how satisfied are you?
Well, King's pretty satisfied.
Pretty satisfied from that.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. Fair enough. I mean,
in multiple ways. Like,
pup masturbation, you know, there's that.
Well, he does it a lot.
Yes. Loki knows. He has access to my security camera.
I'm gonna tell you, there's not a guy on this planet that doesn't masturbate a lot. They all say they don't, but it's a lie.
Well, if you don't count, like, anal masturbating, right? The people who are perma-caged.
Well, true. But there's still a way. Anyway, we're digressing once again. We'll have another conversation about masturbation on another episode. Tune in for the jack off episode. Stay tuned.
Hopefully on me.
Okay, live, we're just going to masturbate all over Loki.
Maybe we'll do that live. Yeah, we'll do the masturbation episode.
Or we could just start an OnlyFans and you can be the occasional pop-in.
It's just 40 minutes of this.
It better be. 40 minutes better be worth it.
Okay, I think we've had enough time with this.
So far off.
I hope our fans like listening to us. You've been listening to Off Leash, a definitely not safe for work podcast. We just talked about masturbation. And I have been Barely Normal.
And I have been Keynes.
And I've been Loki.
And we hope to see you or hear you or you hear us on our next episode. Remember, it's going to be Bratz and it's going to be recorded live. So tune in for that one because you do not want to miss it. I think there will be some spanking going on at least.